Asteroid City trailer.
The Wes Anderson one? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks good.
I was like, oh my God, I didn't know I needed this, like a sci-fi movie from him.
Whenever a new Wes Anderson trailer comes out, I'm like, oh yeah, this guy just makes the best films.
You didn't see the last one, dude. Don't even act like that.
Yeah, but like, come on.
We should go see this one in June. I can't believe it's going to be June.
Yeah.
It's like around the corner.
Because last one, well, I guess, didn't they like get delayed or something because of COVID?
I can't remember.
I think that's why I fell off. But yeah, looks pretty cool.
Good movie.
Stacked cast.
It's like pretty good. It's not my favorite from his, but it's still like interesting.
Yeah, this one. Has Tom Hanks ever been in one? I don't think so, right?
I don't think so. Mm-hmm. Was ScarJo ever been in one?
Yeah.
Which one?
No.
Exactly. Well, she might have been in Mr. Fox.
She was Mr. Fox. Yeah, okay. That's what it was.
That doesn't count though.
Yeah, it does.
Does it?
Yeah, George Clooney
like,
is there.
And then I like how there's like this stack of casts and like 15 down, like Steve Carell.
I know. He must not play a like huge role.
Yeah,
right?
But still, like after all the people that are in there, that's insane. Like,
that's the furthest he's ever been down on like a cast list.
He's basically an extra.
In 20 years. Yeah, pretty much.
I just wish I could live in a universe that's just like a Wes Anderson set, but like all of his movies just kind of together.
Yeah,
like,
dude, the coloring on it looks incredible.
You go to Asteroid City and then you can go up to the mountains to the Grand Budapest Hotel, you know, and like
there's like a Wes Anderson map.
Yeah, like exactly shit. You can go to Japan and it's like the Isle of Dogs and stop motion. Yeah, that'd be a fucking sick like open world game.
Oh dude, it would be,
just to look around.
Imagine he like his like final movie is just one character going through all of his movies and it like turns into stop motion in certain areas.
That'd be something.
And weird. But yeah, it looks really good.
Well, all we need is that Wes Anderson horror movie. And then he's got the gauntlet of like genre movies.
I would love a Wes Anderson horror movie. All of the like quick like that, pans like to like SNL somebody skit. Just sitting there and then blood just gets like,
it's like,
yeah, that'd be crazy. Right.
Yeah. And then like, it's a top-down shot and like you see the blood squirt and then like a murderer is about to go in the house. It shows all his murder weapons and stuff.
Yeah, and he's like trying to pick one.
Yeah.
He straightens one of them in line.
Exactly.
But yeah, it looks pretty good.
Anyway, Nathan, it's our pot-iversary. When this episode comes out, it'll be our pot-iversary.
Really?
3 years.
Didn't we start in March?
That's what I thought, but it was...
We didn't post it until April, huh?
It came out like April 7th, yeah.
3 years.
Yeah.
We're still going strong.
Definitely.
So many trades we still have to read.
I know. I feel like...
And we're not stopping until they're all read.
Yep, all of them.
We need the comics industry to crash so that we can catch up.
But we don't want that.
But we... well, it might happen, Daniel. But that's going to be shown in the news.
We need all the like series that are currently going on to keep going so that there's no new number one volumes.
Yeah, you know? True.
So
yeah.
That'll help.
Everything needs to be ongoing. I don't want any of this dumb DC shit that's been going on. I saw a thread this last week and it was all of the new 52 titles that made it to 52. And there was a lot more than I thought. There's like 10 different series that went to 52 like issues.
Right. Yeah.
And I was like, that would never happen like nowadays. Unless it's Donna DC stuff is going pretty well. Or it goes pretty well for them. But I was just thinking like nothing would hit 52 now.
It's really just like the Trinity stuff and then like
Green Lantern, teams. Flash. You know, those ones did. And then
Grifter Justice didn't League. Make it.
Nope, Grifter couldn't make it.
It's like four, I think. Yeah. I can't remember.
Or like that Frankenstein team. You remember that one?
Wasn't it I, Frankenstein or something?
Yeah, something like that. But yeah, there's like tons of titles
that got canceled. That's cool.
Yeah. Anyway.
We got time codes in the description and we start with our news. Lots of news this week, I think.
Lots of news, yeah.
Most surprising thing that I saw, Francis Ford Coppola is writing a comic.
What?
with Chris Ryle on art and Jacob Phillips on covers.
Wow.
Or colors.
What is it called? What is it called? Did you say?
It's called Megalopolis.
Megalopolis.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Do you know what movies Francis Ford Coppola has directed?
Sure.
The Godfather movies.
Yep.
For one. Yep. Apocalypse Now.
Mm-hmm.
So things like that. So
And now he's doing a comic.
And he's like a million years old.
Yeah. Maybe he's like, I can't do movies no more.
I don't know if he's been working on anything lately, but...
Daniel, big news.
Let's hear it.
An action RPG game is being developed based on TMNT The Last Ronin.
Ah, yeah, I did have that written down.
It's a AAA game and is inspired by recent God of War titles.
What does AAA mean?
AAA means best of the best of the best. The biggest game releases.
Cool.
So it'll have a big studio behind it, using the best engines. And
when's the last time there's been a TMNT game? I feel like it's been a minute, right?
No, there was one like last year.
Oh, was there?
It was made in the style of like the old arcade game. So it was like a 2.5D style game.
Those are pretty fun.
Yeah. So it's on Game Pass now, but I've played a little bit of it and it's very energetic. Actually super fun. So,
cool. Nathan, remember when we were talking about the Dawn of DC Flash series?
Yeah.
That, featured... Mike Diodato, we're wondering how he's going to draw Flash. I found the cover for it, if you want to see his cover.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, you saw that?
Yeah.
He's not too big. Definitely jacked human, but...
He has a scary face.
Yeah, he looks scary looking.
I think he's a bit scary.
Is it villain Flash?
I mean, look at the background of it. It looks scary, so I don't know. Maybe it could be
a freakier kind of Flash.
Yeah. There's going to be a... I'm really excited for this.
Oh, speaking of the Dawn DC, they're... Oh, okay. Adopting the legacy numbering thing.
Huh?
Yeah. So you know how Marvel was doing that? How they just added them all up.
So like when Green Arrow comes out, it'll be number 1/310.
Yeah, they'll have it like really small. I can't remember if this picture had it.
Because I picked up one.
Yeah, this didn't have it. Yeah, it should say really small, like legacy, like LGY or something, and then like 801 or whatever issue it's on.
Even for like Doom Patrol? Because that came out today and I picked that up.
Nathan, I just saw it on like Wonder Woman. So I assume they all have that.
Well, I brought it here today. I was going to say this for the pull list. And so I picked up a variant, Daniel. There's the main cover and then there's a variant cover. And this is a super cool variant cover because it's actually a scratch off cover.
Whoa.
And the idea is, who will Jane be today? And you're supposed to scratch off the scratch off part, which is the mirror. And it'll reveal who Jane's going to be today. And apparently there's...
She's draw a dick.
But... I'll scratch it off in the pull list, colon, shove it in your box.
I don't know if I can like bring myself to do that.
I'm going to do it. Fuck it.
Wow. You but probably do like crossword puzzles that are in comics too, huh?
No, I've never seen that, but I would. No, it doesn't. Not on this cover. I'll have to. This looks so good though.
Who's writing that one?
This one, Dennis Culver, Chris Burnham. That's what their names are.
Oh, that's right. And then I thought Chris Burnham was doing Doom Patrol.
This is Doom Patrol.
Oh, I thought
this is Unstoppable Doom Patrol number 1.
I thought Who Will Be Jane Today is like a different.
No, this book. This is the variant like style. Cool, so this is a scratch off of the Doom Patrol, and apparently there's like 6 different ones.
I kind of like just the A cover.
Yeah, I do too. But I wanted to scratch something off because I've never seen that before, Daniel.
Yeah.
So anyway, that'll be in the pull list.
Nice.
What other news do we have? Oh, actually, I have news that you cut me off.
We both have news.
I'm very excited for this.
Let's hear it.
There's going to be a new Godzilla miniseries called Godzilla There Be Dragons. And I think it's Godzilla
in the time English.
Of the pirates, because it's the cover.
And there's dragons with the pirates?
No, the cover shows Godzilla and there's a pirate ship that I assume is going to try and take him down. So
here there be dragons.
Here there be dragons. Is that what I said?
So the pirates think he's a dragon?
Yeah. And so Godzilla, but in pirate times. How cool is that?
Love it.
From writer Frank Thierry, who I know from a couple things. And then the artist is Inaki Miranda.
Give me two.
And that's going to be in June. So Pirates and Kaijus is basically the pitch for that.
I love any pitch that has kaijus.
Yeah, same.
Nathan.
Yep.
Some unfortunate news. Apparently, really? Black Knight, he will not be in the Blade movie.
That seems weird.
Yeah.
Hopefully he's in the next Eternals.
They had that whole, you know, after credit scene, and it means nothing.
That's fine. Yeah. I mean, I hope Black Knight is still a thing.
Yeah, that'd be weird if they just...
And Eternals 2, perhaps? Because I know that'll happen.
Yeah.
People love Eternals.
Speaking of the MCU news, we might get Secret Invasion June 21st. If you go to Disney Plus and go to the Secret Invasion series page, it'll say coming out June 21st.
Well, then that seems pretty reliable.
There hasn't been any like official announcement by Marvel. So We'll see. In other MC news, we might be getting Loki season 2 in September.
Okay, cool. Cool.
I think that's just a rumor.
Other rumors.
Other sad news, Nathan.
No, other rumors, Daniel.
Okay.
James Gunn posted a Terrifics photo.
Yeah.
Like the Terrifics.
Yeah, yeah.
As in Terrifics. Like, as in like Jeff Lemire Terrifics with Mr. Terrific, Plastic Man, Metamorpho, and the fourth person.
Who's the fourth person?
Some chick. What is her name again? What does she do? People, I forget what she does, but I really enjoy...
That's sexist, Nathan. You don't remember what the girl does?
No.
You don't remember her?
No, I prefer to remember what the black man does. Okay?
Wow.
And the stretchy man and the metamorphing man. Okay?
I saw an interview. I guess Ben Schwartz is aware of the Plastic Man character and how he'd love to play him.
Ben Schwartz?
Yeah. Like Sonic?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I don't like that.
That'd be so good. What are you talking about?
I don't like it.
Like the
he's
energy.
He's silly, but he's not like that. He's also like a criminal, you know?
Yeah, he can be a criminal.
Maybe. I don't see it yet, but maybe. I'm open to it, Daniel. Anything can be good. Daniel, American Jesus is going to be a Netflix show or movie.
Yeah, it's a show. It's called The Chosen One.
Yeah.
Based off of the book American Jesus by Mark Miller and whoever did art on that.
Peter Gross.
Gross.
Or Gross?
Let's say Gross.
Okay, let's say Gross because I don't want to call him Gross. And it's about a little boy who finds out he's the new Jesus Christ and will grow up to face the Antichrist in the apocalypse. Have you read this book?
No, have you? I haven't.
I have not. It's like one of the only Miller ones that I haven't read.
MPH.
I haven't read that.
Wanted.
I haven't read that.
Nemesis.
Yes. The new one.
Old Nemesis.
Nah, who cares?
Starlight.
Yeah. No, I haven't.
Superior.
That's not him.
Superior?
Isn't that Bendis or somebody?
No.
Okay. Name another one.
Super Crooks.
Yeah. Name one more.
Ah, fuck.
How do you know so many Miller things that I haven't read?
Because I know what I have read and what I haven't read. And if I haven't read it, you definitely haven't
read
it.
Name one more and I bet you can't.
There's a reboot of American Jesus.
Yeah, that counts as one.
Okay.
I guess I haven't read any of the Jupiter's ones outside of Jupiter's Legacy.
Yeah.
So there's that. Have you read Chrononauts, Daniel?
No,
you don't think so.
You got that one on me.
Boom, I win. Anyway, what else we got?
Nathan, some fucked up news, Nathan.
Okay.
So you know Mondo? The print company.
Yeah.
They I guess they were owned by Funko.
Okay.
And so that they kept that running. They do the prints that are, you know, where the money goes to the artists and things like that. It's a very positive thing, very good.
Oh.
If you want like some of their artwork and whatnot.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Funko laid off most of their staff this week.
Is that where you got your Silver Surfer thing?
Yes. And they do a lot of really cool fucking shit. Like they'll do like exclusive like vinyl pressings with like special covers for vinyls and stuff. They'll do like That's toys cool. which are really sick. So all kinds of really cool like niche collectibles and stuff, and
that have proceeds that go to the artists.
Yeah, like Francesco Brancavilla.
How much did you pay for that Silver Surfer black one?
$60.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
And then like a portion of that will go to Trad.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Right.
I'll have to do that more.
Yeah, we got to keep them in business.
Yeah, I'll have to spend some money there.
But don't buy any Funkos.
Yeah, don't. They're bad. Daniel, Jonathan Hickman on a new Marvel series.
Let's go.
So, I'm also cautiously optimistic.
I read his last two or three things, I'm pretty sure.
Jonathan Hickman and Valerio Schitti or Schitti?
It's Schitti.
Schitti? Okay. Yeah. On Gods. It's wow. just what it's called, but it's like acronymized. So G-O-D-S. Yeah.
Okay.
To build a new Marvel mythology overflowing with concepts, intricate systems, and new characters. Jonathan said, when I came back to Marvel a few years ago, I wrote two series Bibles. The first one was House of X and the other one was Gods. To say that I'm excited to finally be able to share this story with everyone is a massive understatement. Gods takes place in its own special corner of the Marvel universe and the cracks that lie in the intersection of space. Or sorry, science and magic.
Damn,
and it's supposed to, you know, overhaul a bit of the cosmic side of Marvel, which I can't imagine I'll be able to follow very easily. So
our brains are going to melt out of our ears.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a shot and then I'm going to be too dumb to read it.
This will be like his most difficult project to read.
Yet. 100%. especially at Marvel. Secret, you thought Secret Wars is a little weird? Don't
that
think
was,
so.
That was a grounded version of that.
Yeah. Yeah, literally.
Yeah.
So that's cool. Also, news that dropped today, Disney has laid off Ike Perlmutter, who is the chairman of Marvel Entertainment, not Marvel Studios. Marvel Entertainment did everything else Marvel related, including comics. And so now Marvel Entertainment is going to be a subsidiary of other Disney ran departments. And some comic people think that this will change things potentially. So for comics. So probably similar to how DC was acquired by AT&T and then sold off to some other thing, I think.
Discover.
Yes. Thank you. Apparently that affected the comics in some way. Remember they were trying to go and do like.
There's a lot of layoffs there too.
There was a lot of layoffs. And then they were trying to do. What are they trying to do? What was it called? It was called like 5G. Is that what it was?
I don't know.
They were trying to do this initiative called 5G. And apparently it was so super bad. And then they didn't end up going through with it. But there was like still some weird changes that happened around there. I don't know. That's just the thing I've read into. And
stop messing with our comics.
Yeah. Just leave them alone. And
it's fine the way it is.
You can fuck with other Marvel stuff, maybe. Maybe not. I like what they've been doing lately.
You maybe help like with their video games.
Well, I like Midnight Suns and I like Guardians and I like Spider-Man. And I like Marvel Snap. That's pretty good too. So Marvel's been going pretty good with video games lately.
I don't know.
I don't know if they've released any that I think are shitty recently. So yeah, hopefully that doesn't change much in comics, but I'm just going to enjoy comics. And if it changes, then I also have indie comics to read. So a whale. I was just reading this article while we were trying to figure some shit out. And apparently there's going to be a documentary coming out called Selling Superman. And there was a 40-year secret comic book collection that this dude has been hoarding and like stowed away in like some secret place. And it just got, I think the idea, the documentary is not out. It's currently in production, but that person that was hoarding those comics died and it went to his son, who can now sell things like a 7.0 graded Action Comics number one. Millions of dollars. On top of that, Iron Man, maybe. tons of other comics that maybe surely a couple hundred thousand. Yeah, but lot big collection. So I think
the documentary meant, I know he didn't like mean to die, but like if he meant to like pass it down or if he meant to, you know, sell.
Yeah. So here's the, there's a summary of it. So there's a 40-year-old hidden family secret that only a few people know about. Darren's father had Asperger's. I don't know why that's relevant. And it led him to collect comic books. Oh, that's why. In a genius yet obsessive way that overtook the home, destroyed the family, and caused everyone great mental trauma. Now, after his father's passing, Darren is left with a holy grail collection of over 300,000 comics, including prized possession of his father, Superman number one at 7.0, valued at over 3.5 million, making it one of the most valuable comics of all time. Darren is faced with the final adventure of selling Superman, picking up the pieces of his childhood and rewriting a family legacy. That's a little dramatic, but what a thing to get like on the will or whatever. What is it called?
The estate?
Yeah, the inheritance or whatever.
Yeah.
That'd be crazy.
Nathan,
that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to destroy my family and collect comics.
Nathan, you will inherit all of my comic books and collectibles if I die. So it'll be your problem.
I don't have a whole lot good here.
What are you talking about?
I'll take those Star Wars Legos you haven't built yet.
Wow. You'll just be like, nah, I'm good.
Nah, I'll pick and choose a few.
You'll just leave it with Sarah.
Yeah. I could probably take like 20 comics that you have that I don't have.
You could probably like just sell the lot, get like $100 maybe.
Yeah, I feel like that's probably what it would be.
Yeah.
Daniel, let's get into the book that we read this week, which was what?
It was Southern Bastards.
That's right. By Jason Latour. That's pretty much it, I think.
Jared K. Fletcher on letters.
Oh, what a goat. Dan, what do you think of this book?
And it was excellent. I loved it. It was right up my alley. It was exactly what I was looking for. It was exactly what I thought it would be, because just from what I've heard, you know? Mm-hmm. And yeah, lots of fun.
This is one of my favorite comics ever. Like, good.
I'm kicking myself that it took me this long to get around to it.
Yeah.
And that so I will be reading the rest of it immediately.
It is just like a raw comic, you know. Pretty like I'm reading it, I'm like, God damn it, this is insane. And I don't know why it appeals to me so much. because it's like about Southerners and it's about like football and like barbecue and shit like that. And I like all those things casually, but
yeah,
for some reason, like all of those being thrown together into like a crime comic book just clicks so well. And the storytelling is unbelievable. This first trade's only about 100 pages. It's probably the most effective 100 pages I've ever read.
Yeah, because, the pacing in this was impeccable.
Yeah, it's actually insane. And I'm like, how can this even be possible? You know, that like this good of a story is like wrapped up in like 100 pages, and it feels like it feels like it builds tension and it like escalates and like constant like new developments and shit. It's just awesome.
Unlike barbecue, it cuts out a lot of fat, you know. There's nothing unnecessary in here. There's no fluff.
Yeah,
it's just down to the nitty-gritty.
Yeah,
you know,
really creative storytelling in here as well. So
this dude, I forget his name, but he eats a lot of ribs.
He does eat a lot of ribs.
We eat ribs like every day for like a week.
Our main protagonist, Daniel, of the story, the Luke Skywalker of this saga, is Earl Tubb. the best name
for me, Earl.
The best name for a Southern character. Earl and Tubb is so funny to me.
Absolutely.
But it fits so well. And he's like this super like grizzly like old man. He's got that strong old man physique.
Yeah.
And yeah, we'll get into it. So he's has to go back to his Southern hometown of Craw County in Alabama to clear out and sell his childhood home, while his uncle, who was living there at the time, is transferred to a nursing home. So he has to like pack up the house and sell it pretty much. And I love the start of this book because it's the very first page and it's just a dog like taking a shit on like the side of the road.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, what a way to start a book. How long did it take them to like figure out this is how we're going to start this book?
They knew from the start.
What did you think? You saw this first page and you're like, what's your impression?
So he's right next to the road. I'm like, I hope this dog doesn't get hit.
Yeah, that's true.
And then I was like, he looks pretty scared when he's barking. There's a lot of red in this book.
Dude, yeah. And I really love there's this dog that's like a character kind of. Like
I just thought there was like a lot of dogs, but it's probably just the same one.
It might be the same dog. I really like this lettering for like the growl. It's like grr, and it's like the letters are very defined, and then it goes in like this weird cursive. But Earl Tubb is driving a y'all haul, which I think is really funny as well. And just the coloring, like right off the bat, I think is pretty clever. Like the sky is like a yellow, I don't know, tan kind of color. And I think it really sets the tone for the book. And each issue has like this title card. And I love that aspect. I love the title of the book being like a very emphasized point in like a specific panel. I think that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
So while on a lunch break, Earl goes to Boss Barbecue, where he's recognized by this dude named Dusty, because Earl is the son of the old sheriff of the town, Bert Tubb. I just love their names.
Were they related?
Yeah. Bert Tubb is the sheriff. He used to be the sheriff of the town. So the Earl Tubb.
Are they talking about the coach?
No. And so Dusty gets into trouble with a local gang dude named Esau. And Earl just like can't let it happen. You know, he can't bring himself to like let this man get harmed by Esau. So he fights off Esau. He takes like a fucking, what's that called?
Fryer basket.
A fryer basket, and hits him over the head with it. You
clearly never worked in a restaurant before.
Yeah, I have not. And so he saves Dusty pretty much, but now Dusty's even more scared of having to answer to Coach Boss. You know, he would have rather taken the beating. And I think that Jason Latour is really good at drawing Southern people because they all look
dirty.
And like this Dusty character in particular is just kind of scary because he's got like these like bloodshot eyes and like this weird, like, I don't know, he just nails it. I can't even pinpoint what it is about it, but I'm like, that's a Southern person for sure.
Yeah, he looks like just like an old,
like a rednecky kind of guy. Like,
might have used to be a crackhead kind of thing.
Yeah,
like, and you see him at like a gas station.
He's dabbled in some crack for sure.
Right.
I think what they do really well in this book is that they don't really tell us much about the character, but the story does. And so it's kind of fun putting together like the legacy of Earl Tubb throughout the story, since he's kind of like a quieter kind of character. Cause like Dusty's like, oh yeah, you're like, you're Bert Tubbs boy. You know, he used to be the sheriff of the town. He's still got that, you know, thing or whatever. What are you doing?
Kind like, of deal. Like recognizing him after 40 years, it seems so unrealistic.
It is insane. Yeah, I will say that. But this is a small town, so there's not a whole lot of people to remember. And there's a fun line that Earl says when he's like fighting Esau, and he's like, Esau's like, who the fuck are you? And then Earl just says, I just come for the ribs.
Yeah.
And I was like, for some reason, that line just hit so fucking hard for me.
Yeah, it's a badass.
That's a Southern
badass one-liner.
I just come for the ribs. So back at the house, Earl meets a kid named Tad who likes climbing on the tree next to Bert Tubbs' grave. And then at night, while Earl is like symbolically trying to cut down the big tree, Dusty gets jumped by like a football gang of dudes that are like fully in gear where he can't be saved by Earl. So Dusty gets jumped by those people later.
I think Esau calls somebody a fucknut.
that's good.
And I thought that was so funny.
I'm going to have to use that.
It really took me by surprise.
That's really good Southern terminology.
It is like an image book, and that's something you should kind of be aware of. But
yeah,
I couldn't find exactly what he said.
I love the coloring at night. Like they kind of like single out Dusty. And like the headlights of the car are kind of like shining on him. And I really think that the coloring here is pretty pristine.
Yeah.
But yeah, overall, like super strong first issue for me, especially in like a book like this, where I want to know like more about this particular guy, Earl, and like how fucked up this town is. It like really leaves you a lot to like want to know more about.
Yeah.
Because Earl's also like leaving voicemails on the phone with somebody. And you're like, who is that? What's their relationship? Are they alive? Is he just crazy? But it gives him like a creative way to give some like introspective monologues to Earl while it kind of making sense.
Yeah, you know? It was, I think if you just kind of describe this book to somebody, it doesn't seem like something that interesting. Like the hook doesn't really seem to like grab you. But yeah, once like, you just kind of get into it, then it's just very engaging.
You're like, oh, I get it. Because like, yeah, I don't know how I would pitch this to somebody. Like,
it probably was really pretty hard to pitch
a Southern crime book. Like, I don't really know,
with like a supernatural element and has football in it.
Is there a supernatural element? Kind of.
Yeah, because
of the stick.
Because of the stick.
Okay. Yeah, I guess in a way.
Do you explain the stick?
The stick hasn't happened yet, but oh. I mean, he gets a stick.
This is a really good quad. I just happened to notice.
That's actually
I'm sure it's photo referenced and whatnot, but I'm like, damn, that's a really good fucking quad.
Surely, yeah, that's,
what was the kid's name?
Tad. I love Tad.
Yeah, top-notch names in this book.
Yeah. So chapter 2, the house is all packed up, but it's a little late to start on a road trip. So Earl goes to see the Crawl County Rebs for the football game.
That is a fantastic name.
I love that
for
name.
For a football team.
And like on the trucks, they like spray paint, like run them Rebs. And I think that's so funny.
Yeah.
And Tad sees Earl and tells him a little bit about Coach Boss and who that guy is. But the game is interrupted by Dusty, who's beat to hell. And he's asking for like Coach Boss's forgiveness.
Mm-hmm. He walks onto the field right in the middle of play.
He's like all bloody. He gets tackled by one of the guys. And can I just say that like the energy of like this football game is so fucking good.
Yeah.
Like it's like manga levels of like appreciation for like
something so specific.
Very specific thing. Yeah. That's like what I was thinking of. Cause like we see a double page spread and it's like of like the line. What do you call that? Like right before
play scrimmage.
Yeah, I guess. But like right before they started playing, it's just the two teams and it's a very wide shot. And like the crowd is like, fucking kill him. Like, do all this. Like they're all like super into it. And like they would be in the South too, because like that energy is just, I don't know, it's so good. But all the football players are like ready to kill. And even the quarterback for the other team is like, oh, fuck, I'm about to die.
Scared shitless.
Yeah. A
few things. I didn't really know that there were like any comics that had football in them. Mm-hmm. Like at all. Like I've tried just Googling like football comics.
Sure.
And nothing really comes up. And so I was really happy to see that this existed. Mm-hmm. And then also like Jason Aaron did it. It was through Image, things like that. I'm like, oh, so many pluses here. And so really, really speaks to a specific interest of mine.
Yeah. And like even just in the middle of the play, seeing like all the commotion and shit that's like going on. It's just really fun to like to watch. And I wish that there was like even more football stuff that happened in this. And there is, like, in later trades. Yeah. But yeah, he, Jason Latour, like, nails this for sure.
Hey, then pop quiz.
Okay.
The Rebs are on defense. They're saying screen, watch the screen. Do you know what a screen is?
Screen is when someone goes around the outside and tries to get the quarterback.
No, it's a edge rush.
Okay, what's a screen?
So screen is like you're set up on the line and you have your receivers over there. As soon as you hike the ball, you throw it straight to the receiver. You don't let them run a route. You just give it to them right away.
Okay, gotcha.
I don't think it's very effective, but it works sometimes.
Yeah.
Just because, like, you see the guy throw the ball straight to him and you have the corner, like, right there. So right. It doesn't seem like something that could work out.
Are they able to run up to him, like, past the line of scrimmage as soon as the play starts? Or?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So it seems kind of sketchy, but you have to almost, like, catch him off guard, or hopefully they, like, fall back or something.
Or, yeah. I assume you'd have to, like, play a lot of passing plays where they're going pretty deep in order to, like, for yeah. something like that to work.
Right.
But thanks for the pop quiz and showing my football knowledge.
Right. Had to expose you.
There's a scene where when Earl and, like, Coach Boss first talk, and Earl's like, I bet you had something to do with this whole Dusty thing. And then Coach Boss's response is, I know football and that's about it. And I think that that's pretty sick too. Because he clearly knows something, you know, that he's clearly involved in some way, but he's like, nope, I'm just a football guy. Earl tries going to the current sheriff, who is no help because he's pretty much paid off by Coach Boss. And then he gets taunted by Esau, and he's like telling Earl to leave town and all that. And he can't really bring himself to leave town. And so he's like back at his dad's grave, and he's like yelling at the tree, telling his dad and like the county to fuck off pretty much. And right as he's about to leave, there's some lightning that hits the tree and it reveals his dad's old like sheriff stick that he used to use. And it's basically like a bat that was just naturally made and used to beat people up with it is the idea.
Yeah, I guess it was signed by somebody famous or something. I didn't really pick up on it, but
yeah. And there's a really good line where Earl's like yelling at the grave tree and he's saying shit like he's still standing in his shadow. Because like the tree's like right behind the grave and it's like obviously bigger than him. And mm-hmm. So it's just kind of his representation that he's standing in his shadow. And I think that's such a sick line, such sick symbolism. And then he ends up using the stick that was somehow in this tree, you know?
Yeah.
Or maybe it was just a different stick, but of the same relative size.
Yeah, because he was buried with the bat. And so he assumes that a tree grew from it. I guess out of the casket and made a tree.
Doesn't matter to me.
So there's a tree on top of his dad right now.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. And so that's that issue. So it's chapter 3. There's a flashback of Earl leaving to go serve in Vietnam. And his dad's like really bitter about it, which I think is a really good representation of Earl and like his dad's relationship. Like Earl's just never good enough for what's his dad's name again? Bert. Mm-hmm. So but he wants to go to Vietnam, just get away from Alabama and his family and stuff. Meanwhile, in the present, Earl finds Esau at the barbecue place and he brings the stick with him, which everybody like recognizes immediately. And then he confronts him about Dusty, then beats Esau up saying that he'll just be at this restaurant every day until he gets to talk to Coach Boss, which is crazy because there's just people eating there. And then all of a sudden someone comes with a big stick and just beats him up.
Yeah.
There's a title card in this one, which is, I think it's either Earl or Esau just stepping in dog shit. And I think that's a really cool title card. It's like this panel right here. And
doesn't stick to his boot, which is amazing.
Yeah, that's good. I like when Earl like rolls up his sleeves here. You get to see his old man strength physique that I strive for when I'm like 60 or whatever. And then I just think that small town beef is so fun.
Yeah.
He's like, just to be like, if you have a fucking issue with me, meet me at the barbecue place, you know?
Meet me at Boss's barbecue.
Yeah, Boss barbecue.
Lunchtime.
Yeah. 12 o'clock sharp. Okay, I'll be there with my stick.
Yeah.
And he's just like fucking wailing on this dude. And so Tad talks with Earl at the barbecue place to tell him like the talk of the town because word spreads pretty fast. And Earl wants him to leave and just like stay safe because he's obviously picking up some shit here. The sheriff is told by Esau that Coach Boss doesn't want him to like arrest Earl. Like he wants to figure it out himself. And then Boss tells Asaw to fix the whole distraction so that he can focus on the big game coming up.
Yeah, he's watching film.
Yeah, he's watching, you know, like film. And he's like, I just like his dedication because he's like, listen, we got to go up against Wetumpka pretty soon. That's our biggest game yet.
Yeah.
This is a distraction, so take care of it. And he's like, but don't use any of my starting players. And I'm like, that is so sick.
For some reason, I couldn't help but just keep thinking that the coach is like Nick Saban, who's like the head coach for like Alabama and has been for like ever.
Really?
You know? And so I feel like he is like the king of Alabama, you know, yeah. Just because like he'd be noticed like anywhere and like anything that he says goes kind of thing.
Does he look similar to Coach Boss?
No, not at all.
Oh,
but,
okay.
But like there's red.
But it's like this. Yeah. And if it's of Alabama, it's got to be red.
And their uniforms aren't that different either.
Yeah. So
I feel like if Nick Saban wanted to, you could probably have this kind of pull in a town.
This is high school football, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. It's never like strictly said, but it definitely looks like a high school like football sort of setup and stuff.
Have you ever seen some of the football stadiums in like Texas?
High school ones?
High school ones.
No.
They like comparable to like Sun Devil Stadium. Like
shut up.
They're huge.
Like thousands of people?
Like thousands of people.
Really?
I'll look up some. Like I saw them, I'm like, no fucking way.
Because like, we have like two sets of bleachers and like one of the set of bleachers for like away teams and they're much smaller.
Ours would be abysmal. So this is Eagle Stadium in Allen, Texas.
What the fuck, dude?
Isn't that absolutely outrageous?
You look like you can get lost just like walking around.
Yeah. Like
that's the thousands funding of people.
The funding that goes into high school football in like Texas is like insane.
That's unbelievable.
And there's like a lot like that. Yeah.
We have like just fence, you know, around ours, and then there's like one little, like in our high school there's just one little building for like concessions. And then that was it. And then you just have two sets of bleachers on either side.
Yeah. Like this has like double tiers of like bleachers, basically.
That is crazy to me. Wow.
And I would fucking love to go to a game.
Yeah, I imagine the football culture there is like super huge too. Then
this stadium, McKinney School District, has a $62 million football stadium.
My god,
that like right there, that's like a college,
dude.
Like I feel like college teams might play there, you know? Yeah. What
the hell. And it's like strictly football. There's no like track thing that goes around it or anything like that. That's insane.
Yeah. So
wow.
I
want to go to a game.
Because like, I don't know. I just feel like some places like that's all people care about. You know?
It's just like, because I always thought it was kind of weird here when people are like, oh, we're going up against Perry. And I'm like, who cares?
Yeah. That's like a normal like high school rivalry kind of thing.
Yeah. But, well, yeah, that's fine. But it's like the parents would care about it, you know? And I guess their kids were in, I don't know. Maybe their kids were in like the
school or something like that, or on the team.
Yeah. And so like, that's like the furthest extent that I would see that going, you know, but it's crazy.
I have a friend who's like an Ohio State fan, and the quarterback from Basha was committed to Ohio State.
Wow.
So he went to go see him play like football in high school.
Yeah.
But then I don't know, something happened to where he like committed to some other school. And
wow.
So, yeah.
Wow, that's crazy.
So that shit's kind of cool, because like I feel like that doesn't happen like a lot in like Arizona.
Yeah, Arizona specifically,
right?
Like you would hear of a scout coming or something, but it was like once every like couple years maybe.
Yeah.
So Earl is camping so that he's not in the house because he's kind of painted a target on his back. But Tad is the little kid. He's at the house watching TV there because his mom doesn't let him watch TV, so he's watching TV inside of Earl's house. And Asaw and his crew show up to the house and they start beating the shit out of Tad to send a message.
Yeah.
And one, I like that they use football gear as like armor. I just think that's so sick.
Yeah. It just shows that, like who they are and like what gang like they're part of, basically.
And, you know, Tad doesn't deserve this, obviously. But I like this book because for a second it feels like they're not going to go there. They're not going to like beat up this little kid. And then they absolutely do, and it's awful. Like it feels awful. They like bring guns and shit in here too, and so you're like, are they gonna fucking kill him? And you just don't know. It's like the perfect cliffhanger, and you're like, god damn, I gotta keep reading, you know?
Yeah.
And so issue 4, well, there's like a flashback of him in like wartime, and then Earl visits Tad at the hospital. He's barely alive and he probably won't walk again. That's how bad they've beat him up. And so Earl kind of regrets not leaving earlier, because that would have meant that Tad would have been okay. And he starts like venting over voicemail again before walking off with his stick to go confront people. So Tad looks pretty beat up. That's hard to look at.
Yeah.
And it's funny that they want Earl to leave, but then they slash his tires.
Yeah.
It's like, it's like, what are you trying to get me to do here? And like, he's using, it's like a U-Haul, like, as well. He's probably got so many moving charges.
Oh, yeah.
Because I've rented a U-Haul for like a couple hours and it adds up quick.
Yeah. Well, this one said $19.99 a day.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah. Killer deal.
Well, like, it's $19.99 a day and then it's like the miles.
Right.
There's like a per mile charge. And it's like,
fuck you with the miles.
It's ridiculous. It's like 70 cents sometimes a mile.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
So he walks off with his stick. He confronts his saw and his men outside of Boss Barbecue. It's where everybody hangs out, apparently. And they get into a big fight. So there's this awesome double page spread. It kind of reminds me of like Invincible in a way, where there's just like a big fight, but there's like a lot of panels in there.
Yeah.
And it's kind of every like other panel is sprinkled in with like, you know, things that either happen in the book or Earl in like wartime and shit like that. I think it's
all really, the red ones are like flashbacks.
Yeah. Flashbacks for, yeah, from like a couple different ones. Like, I just, there's one in here that's like a guy that was in the stands of like the football game.
Yeah.
And so like, I remember him, but yeah, it's just things that have been happening in the back. The dog is involved in the fight as well.
Yeah.
I love the lettering for the dog as well. Like when he's barking, it says Ark. Yeah. And I'm like, that's pretty good. And so he's finally,
Bark would be too basic.
Bark is too basic, but Ark is more like, it's more visceral.
Yeah. I feel dogs don't have lips where they can make the B sound.
Yeah. They don't make the B. It's just Ark. So he's finally able to walk into Boss Barbecue. He sees Coach Boss eating ribs and they talk for a bit. And then Earl remembers Boss as a scrawny little kid trying to make the team. And he's getting bullied by like the football team, like seniors and stuff. But Earl was the captain of that. And he's like, I probably could have stopped them, but I didn't because you're a little bitch, basically. And then that starts like their fight where Boss wrestles Earl down. He takes his stick and beats him literally to death with it.
And like then, stabs him in the face with it.
Yeah, stabs him in the face with it. Earl's fucking dead. And then right after that happens, Earl gets a call. Which is so heartbreaking.
Yeah.
To get a call from the person that he's been wanting to talk to so badly for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And he's killed. And so it's like, fuck, man. But like, what a fight as well. And like, the brilliance to hold the title card of Southern Bastards until you see Earl Tubbs' dead fucking body.
Yeah.
Is so raw. And that's pretty much this book. It, like, literally up to that point, it was 100 and it was like literally like 100 pages.
Mm-hmm.
I think even a little less. There's a little epilogue that happens. And it's basically Earl Tubbs' daughter, who he's been calling, who's been away serving and just started listening to Earl Tubbs' voicemails about what was going on. But she's like, oh, I got to go again, so I can't listen to everything. But
she says, love you, daddy. Love See you soon.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And so you're like, God damn. So
what? One of my favorite things in like any story is no character having like plot armor. But I did not want Earl to die.
I definitely wanted Earl to at least last another trade.
I was absolutely like devastated when it happened. I know. I'm like, oh, my. What?
Oh, you're like,
what's supposed to happen now?
Yeah, I know. And then it's so good to like get a call back. And then it's like, it's the daughter. She's been away. And it makes so much sense. Because initially you're probably thinking like, oh, it's probably Earl's wife or something. Or
yeah, like, I was thinking like ex-wife.
Yeah.
That, like, so, doesn't call him back kind of thing.
Yeah. That kind of deal. And no, it's his daughter. So pretty crazy.
Yeah.
So we'll go into Back Matter Matters.
Back Matter Matters.
We have some creator bios and like the pictures of the creators is drawn by Jason Latour. And I think he pretty much nails Jason Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were both born in the South. So Jason Aaron's born in Alabama and Jason Latour is North Carolina. So I guess it's not the South, but at this point, Jason Aaron was writing Thor at Marvel. He's doing some Star Wars stuff. We have the cover gallery. So all of the main covers, which I think are so good.
Wraparound covers.
The wraparound cover is dope. I also really like just Coach Boss's outfit. He's got like those short shorts that are like coach shorts. And I'm like, that's so good. And yeah, some really strong covers. And then the variant covers are pretty banger as well. We have R.M. Guerra, who I believe does The Goddamned with Jason Aaron. I think it's what it's called.
Okay.
That's a pretty crazy book too.
Real quick, there's this variant and it's just food in the bat and you got the boss sauce, which is a great name.
Oh my God. I didn't even notice that. Boss sauce.
Yeah, because it's Boss's Barbecue.
Yeah.
So I hope that the name of that restaurant was named that so that he can have the boss sauce, because that makes so much sense.
Yeah, it does. There's a James Herron variant, which is super good as well.
Yeah, that was cool.
I love seeing James Herron. And Chris Brunner did one. And then, Daniel, we have a recipe for fried apple pies.
Dude, if I got off earlier, I would have made these today. Because they're not that hard.
Yeah, no, it's like a very simple southern like.
They look recipe. So fucking good. And I love using our deep fryer.
There's like three ingredients, you know?
Yeah.
And it's, yeah, they look really good. And then we get some like designs for Boss Barbecue. They made like a KFC Kool-Aid Man kind of deal.
But it's for sweet tea.
For sweet tea.
Nothing diabetes me.
That's a good one. Some Run and Rebs designs.
These are excellent.
Which are like, so good.
Like uniform designs.
Yeah, they are.
Because like it has the logo on the back and it's so big that it wraps around to the side.
Yeah.
Which is something that they did like in the 70s, like the... Or like way back in the day, like the Colts had something like that. And so
it's just like the Colts logo on the back that wraps
around. Yeah. It didn't wrap around quite as much, but it's just a really cool idea that they have that.
Yeah. I like the Run and Rebs logo. It's like that very southern looking man, like cartoony man with like a gun.
Yeah. And just a great color scheme, you know?
Yeah.
They have to be red.
There's the home and away team like the colors, which ooh, is so good. It. Oh, God.
Do the next one, if they had like an alternative, like uniform, that'd be sick.
Yeah. I can't remember what they do, but that would be cool. And then just like a picture of the tree, and that's the back matter. And then a Coming Soon Volume 2 Gridiron, which I have read, also incredible. Yeah. I've read everything of this so far. And again, this is like, just to echo like how good this series continues to be, there's an issue... And it centers around Esau, just him living his life. And it made me sick to my stomach.
Oh, no.
While I was reading it, because it was so brutal.
Yeah.
So really, really good stuff that have come out of this series. I think it's won some Eisners too, but I'm not sure. But Daniel, what would you rate this book?
Nathan, I rate it a brisket sandwich combo.
Nice.
With spicy barbecue sauce. From Big Nate's Barbecue in Mesa, okay. Which is probably my favorite barbecue place that I've discovered.
Oh, wow.
We should go there sometime. Their brisket sandwich like knocked me on my ass. Okay, it was nice. So fucking good. The like seasoning on it was like absolutely insane. It tasted almost like the have you ever had the peppered beef jerky?
No.
It's like the best beef jerky, like that flavor, I think. But like the brisket tasted like that and it was amazing.
Okay, nice.
And so big fan of that one.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of this book. So I give it the biggest plate of ribs that you can get.
And Daniel, I don't like ribs that much, but I love a brisket sandwich. Oh,
I love me some good ribs. And you know, these are the kind of ribs where the meat falls right off the bone.
You just shake it a little.
Yeah,
or you can pull it right out.
And it's just beautiful.
Yeah. Okay,
it is a sight to behold.
Yeah.
And for those... I think we should bring this up like every couple episodes, but we rate books based off of like food and like random food sizes instead of just doing like, oh, 5 stars or whatever. Cause you can kind of gauge our energy on the book and how much we like it and stuff, but it's still fun to rate it something.
Definitely.
So yeah, great book. Definitely go pick it up if you haven't read it. It's like probably the most underrated book.
Yeah.
Image.
I'm disgusted with myself because I saw like the title. I'm like, wonder what that's about. And I didn't really think about what it could be. But yeah, a very big sleeper.
Yeah, definitely. So let's go into the pull list, colon.
Shove it in your box.
The pull list. What did you shove in your box?
Big week, Daniel.
Yeah, kind
of. More Jason Aaron, Once Upon a Time at the End of the World came out.
Was that 4 or 5?
5. I think I'm caught up other than 5. Maybe I missed 4, something like that. But I picked that up. Unstoppable Doom Patrol, number 1. Picked that up. The Ambassadors by Mark Miller and Frank Quitely came out as well, which is that's like the big blockbuster like release, I feel like, of this week.
Probably.
And Gotham City Year One, number 6, I picked up.
Last one in the series.
And I'm trying not to pick up a whole lot of number ones, but I picked up 3. So I picked up the Doom Patrol. I picked up the Ambassadors because you have to, right? And then I also picked up It's Jeff. Are you familiar with It's Jeff?
No, I just saw it today.
It is a Marvel series that was originally one of their Marvel like Unlimited scroller series.
Oh.
So
just like a couple years ago?
Yeah. Maybe even like a year ago.
Okay.
But it's just about this cute little shark named Jeff. And he like walks around. I think he's Kate's pet, like the girl Hawkeye pet.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure what is going
on
there.
Why would Hawkeye have a pet shark? That makes no sense.
It's amazing. It's a silent book, which is kind of cool. So it's just like this little shark running around, and there's like small chapters that are like 3 or 4 pages, but it's like all of them compiled into like one comic book, I think.
So it's a print of the Unlimited Scroller?
It's a print of the Unlimited Scroller.
Okay.
And like you wouldn't be able to tell otherwise.
Does it come in like a scroll and you have to like roll it out?
Yeah, exactly. It's like a big toilet paper roll and you just throw it out and then you just like you walk and you read the book. No, like they split it up in like a way to where it just feels like a normal comic. It's just like there's like actual like square panels and stuff too. So they like split it up. So now I'm almost curious how they did that. And I want to go like read the Unlimited Scroller. I can see how they did it, you know, because like when you're doing the Unlimited Scroller, sometimes there's like panels that are clearly supposed to be just like square, like little panels, and then you just scroll to the next one, right? And then there's like these more dynamic ones where like it's like one long picture. So there's a sequence where Jeff like swims down like an ocean, like pretty far. Mm-hmm. And so when that's happening, that's just like really long panels, but it still looks really good, like on a page. So
yeah, it's probably just making decisions on where to cut it basically. Yeah.
But what I like about this is that the artist is really good at drawing things cute, but like not overly cute. It's just like, I don't know, just like a fun kind of cute. Mm-hmm. But they're also clearly like really big fans of like Marvel comics. Cause there's one where it's like centered around like a pool party. And there's like, you know, Namor's in there. He's just he's like underwater. But there's like Hulkling and Wiccan like together. You know how they're like a couple, like they're just in the corner somewhere. Like no one's like really relevant to the story. But there's just like little things about tons of different characters that are, I think, super fun. And they did a really good job. There's like a sledding one where like Jeff goes sledding. And his sled kind of sucks ass. So he like steals Captain America's shield to go sledding. And I thought that was pretty fun. Like, it's just like pretty creative. So I was nice. I was happy with it. Where are you picking up?
Gotham, Doom Patrol, and Ambassadors. Mm-hmm. Did you read anything?
I read the Ambassadors.
Oh, yeah? How is it?
It is insane how Frank Quitely stays so good.
Right.
This is like unbelievable.
Really?
Yeah. Like he still has it. Like I keep expecting him to like fall off, but he can't. The man keeps climbing.
You gotta let him cook.
And it's unbelievable. And there's like a couple panels where I'm like, this looks a little off. Then later in the book, there's a reason for it. And I'm like, God damn it. He's playing with my fucking mind, yeah. Daniel. Because I'm like, I don't know. Oh,
you think I fell off?
Yeah, you think nope. I fucked up? No, there's a reason for it. There's a narrative reason for it. And I visually fucked with your mind to put that in your head.
His artwork ages like fine wine, Nathan.
It does, dude. Like I'm reading the first couple pages and I'm like, what the fuck, man? Like, why doesn't he stop? Come on. But no, it's really good. I don't think he's on the series for forever. I think it's only like the first 2 or 3 issues.
Okay.
And then there's like rotating artists or something like that.
Yeah.
Strong first issue though. I think some of the coloring, it was hard to distinguish what was going on in certain scenes.
Hmm.
So that's the only like slight criticism I have about it, but there's a reason for it as well. But I still thought it was a little tough because I wanted to just see Frank Quitely's artwork. So I'm like, why can't I see this very well, you know?
Yeah.
But really good. The idea is there's like, it's pretty much just Willy Wonka, but instead of a golden ticket to go to a chocolate factory, you get superpowers.
Right.
And they like say that. It's like on the cover of the book.
Do they have to buy chocolate?
No. This person has developed a way to give people superpowers. And this person's partner was trying to sell it to the government so they can get super rich. But they broke up. And this person is just giving it to people that deserve it kind of deal. And everybody's like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
There's 8 billion people how are you going to give it to six people? You know, right. What does that mean? So you don't have to buy anything. They just have that figured out, I guess. I don't know. Hmm. And like everybody's watching, like the Korean government's watching, like it, like all, this all gets like broadcasted kind of deal. And like even the American government, and there's a guy in there that I'm pretty sure is Trump.
Sure.
But I'm not sure, but like it's Trump, but maybe not. And he's like,
Nathan, who would you give superpowers to? Name like two or three
people. Keanu Reeves.
Good one. I think like Neil deGrasse Tyson for some reason.
I feel like he'd be
what like if a, you get smarter.
He'd be a Charles Xavier type beat.
Yeah.
You know? I'm trying to like not keep it within actors, but it'd be really fun to give John Cena actual superpowers, I think.
Yeah.
But like who else is like chill but like pretty big?
Obama
would be pretty cool. I don't know what his power would be.
Flight, probably.
You know that guy Nick Offerman's, that's a good one. Okay. But somebody that's not an actor, this is a very local reference, but you know that guy that balances shit on his chin?
Oh yeah.
I want him to have superpowers.
Hold on for
context, people, look up what'd you Google?
Because
chin bouncing guy NBA. Because there's like a halftime show that he did.
And he does
like,
a couple, yeah.
Yeah. And so look up that guy. I want him to have superpowers.
There's this dude in Arizona specifically. He works at every stadium for some reason. And he sells lemonade. And he's like, lemonade, just like grandma made. And
I want him to have superpowers.
He gets superpowers.
So two Arizonan people. And then maybe like an athlete. What's an athlete that we can give?
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's a great one.
Because he reads comics.
Is that six?
Probably six.
Okay. We've done it.
We got a pretty good fucking team.
I think so. Yeah. I challenge anybody.
They can defend everything against anything.
I challenge everybody to create a better list than that.
Because I think about like athletes I just like as people the most. And Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is up there for sure.
Because he's like uses his platform for good.
Right. Know? And that's kind of the superheroes we need.
And he still like will show up on acting. You know, do like acting and stuff. Like, remember when he shows up on Dave and you're like, is that Kareem Abdul-Jabbar?
It's excellent.
Yeah, it's awesome. But
we should have him on the pod. That'd be cool.
We should. Yeah. Yeah.
Can we do that?
We could maybe see if we can pencil him in.
Email him or something?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I read XO Manowar.
Oh, yeah. The new one with...
new one with Becky Cloonan and Liam Sharp.
That is such a surprising team up for a publisher Valiant. That I didn't think would... You know, have the funds, you know,
to do something like that.
Yeah,
I think they're trying to make another comeback because, like, they kind of fell off a little bit, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. They had like a really good push where they had like Rye coming out and like Ninjak and Bloodshot.
Yeah, they just kind of rebooted everything.
Yeah, and I was like, this is pretty fun. I was actually into it. Like, I was reading Divinity, which is like their event. Yeah, it was good. And now they kind of fell off a little bit. This is pretty good, especially if you like X-Men: Manowar.
Do you like X-Men Manowar?
I do.
Best thing about X-Men Manowar is like his costume. Because doesn't he have like a helmet where it's like a screen almost?
Yeah, it's like a screen helmet.
Or it's a glass panel. Pretty cool.
Which I like. I like the idea of it where it's just like a caveman getting abducted by aliens, given a suit of armor, and then he's just dropped into like modern times.
Didn't know that, but that's cool.
Yeah, isn't that a cool concept? And so he's kind of had to like figure out what a car is, what a skyscraper is, all that shit, you know?
Or his fucking suit.
Well, like his suit tells him a lot. I think there's a new perspective where his suit kind of like talks to him. I don't remember if that was like a thing before. This one, he's like, they find a way to take away the plot armor, mm-hmm. but he still has the armor, but it's like not protecting him at all times.
Okay.
He's stranded on like an ice planet and his armor is using all of his resources to just keep him alive. And he's fighting like ice monsters and shit like that, that are like native on the planet. And so I'm like, okay, this is interesting. I'm going to give it a couple more. I don't know if I'm going to continue with it.
Sure.
I think I've discovered...
Then the fate of Valiant is on your shoulders.
I think it might be. Yeah. I need to use this platform to the millions of people, I think. I don't know. I don't look at the metrics, but yeah. The millions of people, then tell them. But I think I like...
All four listeners, they want to know if it's good.
Yeah. I think I like Liam Sharp's work better.
His own stuff?
When it's...
Big two.
No, because he's developed this style recently. I think he's trying to keep things fresh or whatever, but... There's no like hard line work.
Okay.
When he goes into the coloring, which he does himself, which I think works in particular areas. There's a couple issues of Green Lantern that are like it, where it feels like a little bit blurrier because it looks like a digital paint kind of deal.
Yeah, because he's trying to go for like realism probably.
Which I think is cool, and I can immediately recognize any piece that he does as like Liam Sharp work.
Sure.
But I like just the traditional drawing that he does, traditional comic book drawing, a little bit better. So I wish that he would stick with that more, because I find myself looking at some of the digital painted images and not being able to like focus on what's going on as easily for some reason. Mm-hmm. But I think that's just me being dumb. I also read The Punisher number 10, still really good. A bit of a filler because I think they're about to wrap up in the next two issues, but there's a pretty fucked up twist. And the book is so bloody, which is cool for a Marvel comic. So, Daniel, I want to scratch off this comic. Do you have a coin?
No. Why would I have a coin?
I didn't think about this.
Do you have your keys?
I do have my keys. What did you read this week while I scratch this off?
I read Human Target number 6.
Oh, okay. Good.
So that was like the end of like the first trade. That one was very surprising.
What happened?
So they kill Guy Gardner?
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
I was like, whoa. What do you mean? And so I was very, very surprised by the whole thing. So yeah, very good cliffhanger. And not that I was losing steam on the...
Oh, is that going to shake the video?
No, you're good. Are you sure? I can be shaky.
Okay.
Not that I was losing steam on the run, but like that was definitely a kicker. So
yeah,
that was cool. Pretty good. I read this new manga. It's called Gantz. I don't know if that translates to anything, but it's by the same guy who wrote Gigant, which is that manga I told you about earlier.
Okay.
And it's about this group of people who like all die around the same time, but their bodies are transported like right before they die. And they're basically, there's copies of them that are uploaded into like this room.
Okay.
And there's this like sphere in the room that's has like a person in it or something that's hooked up to it. And there's like a screen on it, and these drawers pop out, and there's like these exosuits and like weapons and shit. And they get like a minute to grab shit, and then they're like, they're teleported to just Tokyo, and they're given like a target. And so they go after the target, kill the target, and then after the target's killed, some big monster thing comes and attacks them.
And I feel like a lot of plots for manga are two guys in a room and they're just yes-anding like each other.
Maybe.
Like improv, where it's like, what if everybody dies and their body gets transported? And then it's like, but then what if there's a room in there and then the blue and then they get teleported back? And then what if there's a monster?
All they had to do was like survive like the monster or whatever. And then they're transported back to the room.
Okay.
Right. And and they are like graded on their performance or whatever. The exosuits do things like, you know, harden certain parts if they're getting attacked or help them fly and shit like that. And if you like survive long enough, you basically go back to the room and the door and there unlocks and you can just go back to your life. Oh. But when they were fighting the monster, they saw other people just like in Tokyo or whatever, but the people didn't see them. So they're kind of like ghosts.
Okay.
And so that's as far as I've gotten so far. I got this like omnibus of it.
Seems like there's a lot going on in that book.
Yeah. And I still don't think I know enough to understand what's going on necessarily, but that's all I could remember really. And that's all I've picked up so far.
Dana, I had a great time scratching that off.
Yeah.
Apparently, Jane today will be the chainsaw nun. And that's the variant thing that I've gotten. I don't know if you can see this up there, but
that's cool.
Yeah.
Ripping Chainsaw Man.
So when I went to the comic shop, I was like, are these the scratch off covers? And I think I got really excited and started talking to me like a lot. Uh-huh. And I guess there's like certain Jane personalities that she will be.
Yeah.
And
you watch the show?
Yeah. But apparently the idea of this book, or at least the concept of this book, is that there's going to be a sixth personality. And five of these personalities are going to be in like the scratch-off covers, but one of them will be like the new personality kind of deal.
So
like,
there's five different scratch-off covers?
There's six.
Okay.
Different scratch-off covers that you can collect. Kind of deal. They're like, they're not meant for you to like collect.
That's fucked. Like you buy one, it's the same one you have already.
Like, God damn it. And then you can't return it.
Yeah.
It's lost its value, you know.
Right.
But I thought that was a really cool idea because I've never vandalized a comic book like that.
So. Yeah, definitely. It's exciting.
I respect that. Plus, it was the same cover price, which was $5, but oh well.
I hope there's more left for when I go.
Yeah, there probably will be.
Did you watch anything new?
Yes, I did, Daniel. I started watching Barry.
Oh, nice.
And it's great.
What? How far are you?
I'm halfway through the first season.
Great season.
Which is a good season. And I'm like, why does this work?
I know. Yeah, it like barely works, but you're like, I love this.
The concept is like a hitman that just doesn't want to do that life anymore. It's all he's really known to do because he like served and then he went straight into hitmaning. And the guy, his boss is the one of the people from Dodgeball, the one that gets cucked. Remember that guy?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, Fuchs.
Fuchs, yeah. But one of his targets is an actor and he like... stumbles into his like acting class and then he gets pulled into acting and then he decides that he really likes acting and so he wants to be an actor but he can't get away from hitman life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so good.
My favorite character is Noho Hank, the bald dude.
Yeah, I just met the bald dude.
He's in the first episode.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Wait.
He's the one that hires Barry.
Oh, he's the guy that has like no eyebrows and shit, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's
the best character.
Yeah.
He's like consistently like the best.
It's so weird that Barry just has like no social skills.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a point where he confesses that he like murders a bunch of people to the acting teacher and he's like, what's that monologue from, you know?
Yeah.
Which I think is really funny, but I'm like, how does this guy not know how to like navigate certain social situations like this, you know?
Yeah.
But there's a really funny scene where like the guy that he was hired to kill he's not killed by Barry, but he is killed, and then the teacher breaks the news to the acting class, and then Barry has to act like he's surprised, but he's not good at acting clearly. And I thought that shit was so funny. Like his fake ass reaction. He's like, oh, no.
They were doing some exercise where they're copying like their partner's like facial things. Mm-hmm. And so when everyone was like, he's like,
I busted out laughing.
Yeah, that's a laugh out loud moment for sure. Yeah,
so it's a good show. I'm going to keep watching it, but it's good.
Yeah, no, the trailer for season 4 just dropped, which is the last season.
When is that?
April.
Oh, wow. It's soon. I got to catch up.
Yeah, but it's like weekly, so you'll be fine.
Okay.
And those are... Don't you love like how short the episodes are?
Yeah, they're like 20 minutes.
You fly through that show.
Did you see that TikTok I sent to you where it's like watching a 3-hour movie and it's like Aaron Taylor Johnson like all sweaty and shit. And then it's like watching 7 hours of 30-minute episodes and it's him walking all confidently.
Yeah.
I'm like, I feel that.
The memes that came out of that movie about Aaron Taylor Johnson are impeccable.
Yeah, that was like... there's no way you can like predict that kind of stuff happening, but like I'm sure he feels pretty good about it.
His other roles, because that one is so important.
Yeah,
you know, it's become so important.
Kick-Ass is on Netflix now, 1 and 2.
Really?
Yeah,
it was just on HBO Max, so
yeah,
they just move shit around.
Yeah, I don't understand it.
They just shuffle, and it's like trading cards basically.
Mm-hmm.
I watched this movie called Speak No Evil.
Okay.
It is a, you know, that the horror movie app Shudder. They used to advertise a lot on TV. Yeah, it's like an original from there. I heard a lot of things about it. Heard a lot of people talking about it. It's like about this Danish family that goes to visit this Dutch family that they met on like vacation.
Okay.
And it's like one of those. It's like a movie where they're staying with them at their house, and you're just kind of uncomfortable the whole time because of their just how they live, you know, mm-hmm. and how they handle things. Like they're unreasonably hard on like their kid. They don't have like great manners or anything, you know. They go to dinner and then the dude like drives them home drunk and things like that, just being really like insensitive,
yeah,
and whatnot. It was like okay, like I guess the ending was like the best part, but it also like didn't make a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. Overall, I didn't like it, and it was overhyped on TikTok. But
I'll
tell you what happens. So the main character, he's like poking around in like some shed or something. And he goes in this room that has these like pictures of like the couple that they're staying with. And they have different kids in all of the pictures.
Oh.
And so each of these couple like have kids. And he finds their kid like drowned in a pool.
Mm.
And so they try and like run, but they like catch up with them. And then they end up like... cutting like their daughter's like tongue out.
Wait,
and then taking them away.
The kid of the crazy family or the normal family?
Yeah.
Okay.
The kid of the crazy family drown.
Okay.
Then they take the kid of the normal family, cut out their tongue.
Ooh.
So he
see it?
Yeah.
Oh, gross.
It looks pretty good. It looks like believable.
Okay, nice.
And then he, like, I don't know. They didn't like really fight very hard to stop the whole tongue thing from happening.
They're like, ah, no.
Yeah, I know. He just like gets punched a couple times and like, that's it, you know? And it's so bizarre. And then they take them out into the middle of nowhere and make them take their clothes off, and they just stone them to death because there's like rocks all around them.
Are they tied up anywhere?
No, they're not tied up. They don't have a gun.
They could have run.
Could have ran. Could have fought back. Lots of things. But they just kind of...
They didn't catch the rock and throw it back?
Yeah.
Like a dodgeball?
Yeah, no. They just like gave up and then were stoned to death. And
that's lame.
Yeah, super lame. Didn't like it. And then I watched The Fast and the Furious, Nathan.
Nice.
Yeah, because we'll be doing recap videos for just kind of bonus episode kind of things and lead up to Fast X coming out in May.
Yeah.
Doing that with our friend Aaliyah.
Have you heard the gay theory?
The gay theory.
In one of those movies. You'd probably know about it if you...
Guess not.
Okay. I'll do the research on that.
Okay. But there's a theory.
There's a theory that... Paul Walker's character and Tyrese Gibson's character, is that his name?
Yeah.
Are gay in the second movie, like so gay.
Okay, I have to watch Too Fast, Too Furious. I'll be thinking about that the whole time.
I watched a video essay on it and it's very convincing.
So, yeah, watch that and then take a lot of notes and you have to convince us.
I'll rewatch the gay theory video.
So it's fresh.
Yeah, and then bring that there. I also... was casually watching Speed Racer just while we were doing good something movie. Else. Dude, so good.
Yeah.
I was watching it and I was like, this is amazing.
Yeah, it looks great. I think that was like the first like all CGI movie I've ever seen.
Yeah. And I mean, like some of that's like a little corny. I don't even really care about that, but the action is so creative.
Yeah, I remember liking it a lot. I guess fans of like the anime like didn't like it because one, it was like a white dude, and then also just maybe wasn't done very well compared to it.
That's fair. But still like very outlandish and kind of feels anime inspired. So yeah. I don't know. But I think it's
why good. Do you watch that? Was it on something?
It was on like Netflix or HBO or something. We were trying to figure out something to put on while we were doing something else.
Yeah.
And I did the dad
perfect
thing.
Movie
where,
for that.
I did the dad thing where you stand and like watch it for like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I can't commit to sitting down because I have to do shit, but like I can't not watch this movie.
I hate standing, so I'll just like even sit for like a minute and then just like get back up.
No, because then I'll commit. You know, and I'm like, well, I'm not watching this right now.
Just like sit on the edge of the couch, you know?
That's true. But yeah, I just watched some of that. I didn't even fully watch it, but I forgot John Goodman is in it.
Oh, yeah. He's the dad.
He's a dad. Yeah. And I'm like, good Lord. Look at all these people.
And yeah.
Yeah. Really good.
Love John Goodman.
What are we going to read next week?
What are we going to read next week?
Nathan.
I don't like the smile you have.
Next week, in the next episode, will come out on my birthday, Nathan. So the time has come.
For you to force me to read something because it's your birthday.
For my birthday episode. And I have the perfect option. I thought about this and came up with it months ago.
Okay.
So we're going to read the weirdest comic I've ever read.
Okay.
I read this comic at a time when I was buying all the Image number ones, no matter what, just did it. Because I'm like, I like Image stuff. Maybe they can do no wrong.
Okay.
This is where they went wrong.
Oh, God.
And so I picked this up, read it. I'm like, what the fuck was that?
Okay.
I didn't read past issue one, so the rest of it will be...
completely new.
New for me.
Who knows? Maybe it'll turn... You'll turn around on it and be like...
maybe.
Hell yeah.
That's best case scenario.
Okay. What's it called?
So this book is called The Beef. Have you ever seen that cover before?
I've never seen this before.
Good.
The Beef by Star King's Shane Lyne and Shaky Kane. Those are all fake names.
Maybe.
Are those? Is that even the creative team?
Yeah, that is. The Beef. What we're going to do, what you're going to do is not read anything about this. Don't look it up. Just start reading it.
I won't.
Don't look at the synopsis. Just start reading it.
Sure. Okay.
And I... can't wait. This I could have made you read something that you didn't want to read, you know, like
I don't want to read this,
like Hawkman or something.
No, I definitely don't want to read. Yeah, you're right.
But
this is better.
I think this would still be fun.
Okay,
because it was like you'll appreciate things in this.
Okay,
but this is like one of the weirdest comics I've ever read.
Okay, sweet. Yeah,
so just
the Beef,
Nathan.
I can't believe I haven't heard of it, and it came out
2018.
Yeah, I would have seen like most number ones coming out around that time, so that's
okay,
crazy.
So Shaky Kane is like someone in it, but it's Tyler Shane Line and Richard Starkings. I don't know if you've heard of those.
No.
But it's 117 pages, 5 issues. You can do it.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm up to the task.
It has no reviews on Comixology.
Oh, yeah. Dude, we can be the first reviews.
It actually does have some reviews.
Oh, okay. I gotcha.
I think those are just the Amazon reviews.
Okay. I guess you have that to look forward to, listeners.
I'm so excited.
I'm not, but we'll see what happens. Maybe I will. Maybe it's the greatest book.
Yeah. Maybe it just really turns around, or like maybe I didn't understand it at first. Maybe it was just weird at the time in place I was in comics, you know?
It could be, yeah, ahead of its time. Yeah, there are books that I've read where I'm like, this is weird. I don't like this.
Right.
And then I go back and I'm like, this was great. What was I thinking?
Yeah.
I remember, hopefully it's one of those.
Remember the art being pretty good.
Yeah. Okay.
But cool. Here we go. We're reading The Beef.
That'll be fun, hopefully.
Alrighty. Thanks, so, everybody, for watching and listening. If you're listening, go watch. You can find all of our stuff on our link tree. You know, like, follow, subscribe.
Yep.
You can email us at tradewordspod@gmail.com. Tell us if you've read The Beef.
Tell us what you think of The Beef. Tell us if you even heard of The Beef.
Go read The Beef.
Go read The Beef.
And tell us what you think.
Indulge with us. 117 pages of beef.
And also recommend other things
yeah.
for future episodes.
Exactly.
And yeah,
that's it. All right, bye. See you next week. Bye.